Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Nahastan anila nijone go shavothya, nijone go shavothya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, 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 oh, 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 hey, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, hey, oh, 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 hey, 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 oh, hey, oh, we are your
hey, 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 hey,
Music from a Menominee drum off the Kenny Records CD entitled Wild Rice, Songs from the Menominee Nation. The Menominee are a woodland people originally living on land consisting of over 10 million acres that stretch from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi River in what is now present-day Wisconsin. They lived well until, like other tribal nations, were victims of white man's manifest destiny. In 1956, U.S. Congress's Termination Act ceased recognition of 106 tribal nations across the country. The Menominee are only a few of the tribes that won restoration of their tribal status in the 1970s after many years of court battles. It should be known that Menominee forests, which they protected and kept healthy, were decimated by loggers. The name of that drum song was Brave Man Song. In many Native societies, particular songs are sung to honor someone who does something for the well-being of Mother Earth and our tribal community, even a great personal risk. This is a meaning of being a brave person, of being a warrior. In this time of many injustices in the world, those who act in defense of justice are brave people. Yad Kadishi Native Center honors all activists who are not afraid to fight for a better world. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kadishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is Program 4 of Wolf Mountain Radio's series entitled Speaking Out for Socioeconomic Justice, Conversations with Youth Activists at the 2009 5th Annual Immokalee Encuentro. Encuentro is a Spanish term meaning gathering. Yad Kadishi Native Center has the privilege to participate every year at a fine gathering known as the Immokalee Encuentro that concerns itself with socioeconomic justice and human rights. The primary focus of annual Encuentros is the exploitation of farm workers by agribusiness, food, and restaurant industry. The gathering supports the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, hosted by the national grassroots organization, the Student Farm Worker Alliance. The CIW and SFA Encuentro is also assisted by Interfaith Action. Farm workers, mostly Latino, Haitian, and Mayan Indians, labor long hours in the hot sun, harvesting the fruits and vegetables most Americans eat. The exhaustive hard work is nothing less than modern-day slavery. Abusive crew bosses, sub-poverty wages, health problems from exposure to toxic pesticides and herbicides, exemption from USDA labor laws, and overcrowded squalid housing are the harshful conditions of working Florida's agricultural fields and packing plants. It is also important to remember that a long history of U.S. foreign policy and economic globalization has caused a great number of people to cross the border in order to find work. Many farm workers are under U.S. law illegal aliens. They risk deportation from INS. In addition, Collier County Sheriff deputies have INS authority. Please keep these conditions in mind as you listen to the program. The Encuentro agenda also encourages briefings and workshops on a multitude of other serious issues of concern to young people in hopes of creating a better world. One of the most enjoyable aspects of attending the annual Encuentros is the opportunity for me to talk with participants who come from various geographic and cultural backgrounds. Some are longtime activists who represent a national organization or campaign that supports CIWSFA. Other participants may represent a community group that is an ally to CIWSFA. There are also some young people who are new to social justice issues and are here for their first time. In addition, Encuentro participants range in age from high school to graduate school. Above all, the Encuentro is a space where people can openly share ideas and experiences in an atmosphere of respect and equality for everyone while we work for justice and a broader effort for creating a better world. My first program guest is a young activist fighting against homelessness, hunger, and poverty. These are also very important issues of concern to Yad Kiddushi Native Center. My guest here prefers not to say his name on air in order to protect his identity from those who don't need to know he is an Immokalee at the Encuentro. I will call him Sir. Previously in our interview, we talked about how many poor and homeless people are using vacant lots to grow food, as well as occupying abandoned buildings for shelter. We also mentioned how this Take Back the Land movement is a battle occurring in many cities. Municipal governments and private landowners often prohibit unused property for planting community gardens. Wolf Mountain Radio has reported on a number of cases across the country of bulldozers destroying neighborhood gardens that many poor people worked on and relied upon for years. Urban renewal, disguised as economic development, which I term urban removal, has also forced people from being able to stay in their neighborhoods they have called home for years due to gentrification. I want to begin this segment of our conversation on how hunger, homelessness, and poverty are on the rise. The traditional image of hunger and homelessness being the stereotypical street bum has changed to include families, children, veterans, and workers who cannot earn enough to feed families or to be off the street. According to the National Coalition for the Homeless, at least 1.35 million children are homeless each year. An estimated 600,000 military veterans will be homeless this year. The economic recession has so greatly decreased philanthropic funding that homeless shelters and food kitchens cannot meet the needs of an ever-increasing number of hungry and homeless people. Even many faith-based charities are turning people away and closing their doors due to lack of monetary support. Homelessness, hunger, and poverty issues that you are concerned about are very emotional subjects to me. Demographically, American Indians have the highest rates of homelessness and poverty in the United States. Many Native Americans live on the margins of society in urban slums. Alcoholism, drug abuse, unemployment, malnutrition, poor health, poverty, high per capita rates of imprisonment, dysfunctional families, hunger and homelessness are the tragic realities of many American Indians, both on and off reservations.
Much of the reason for this has been government policy and white settler theft of Indian land since first contact. Native peoples have been dispossessed of our land and tribal homes from warfare, forced removal, pioneer homesteaders, kidnapping of Indian children into boarding schools, and U.S. abrogation of our treaties that guaranteed certain areas as being Indian land, as, quote, as long as the grass grows and the waters flow, unquote. There is not enough time in this program to describe this history in detail. However, I at least want to mention two federal laws that directly caused Indians to become homeless. The first was the 1887 General Allotment Act, known as the Dawes Act. Congress's land tenure scheme was a way of stealing most of the little tribal land left. The second major congressional act was Public Law 959, passed by Congress in 1956. The law was known as the Relocation Act. This policy removed many, many Indians off reservation lands in order to resettle Indians into major cities. In this way, Washington was able to more easily expand their exploitation of land, energy, and natural resources without having to put up with what politicians called their Indian problem, like honoring treaties. Unfortunately, PL 959 was a success for Washington. Indian country became depopulated in one generation. This is a primary reason why there are more Native people in cities than on reservations even today. My mother's generation suffered greatly from this era. I remember during my high school years helping my mom with her soup kitchen and thrift store she ran with other Native women near the Boston Indian Center. Many of those who she fed and clothed were street Indians, whom I got to know well. One of the projects I am proud to have helped create was a food co-op that grew nutritious organic vegetables on vacant land owned by the county. We had use of an old school bus, which provided transportation to poor and homeless co-op members that provided farm work in exchange for food. I've heard that farm and inner city market near the Indian Center is still operating after all these years. The National American Indian Housing Council reports that some 90,000 Native families are homeless in the U.S. Federal Native American Housing Assistance under NAHASDA law is limited to a small number of reservation Indians. The majority of American Indians in the country reside in cities and therefore receive no housing assistance. What's worse, many urban Indians no longer have tribal affiliation and therefore are ineligible for tribal services. One of the reasons why I just commented a lot about American Indian homelessness is that we Native Americans, just like the country's other homeless population, are invisible to American society. Affluent Americans seem oblivious to the problems of hunger, homelessness, and poverty. Many people avert their eyes when they see street people. Many people can walk right past a homeless person and not even show concern or offer some money to help. So would you please continue to share your views on these serious issues of hunger, homelessness, and poverty? Why do you think the homeless seem not to exist?
Because they feel that those folks don't have a voice. If you don't have capital, if you don't have money, then many times in our society, you're looked at as not important. You don't exist. And I think that's one of the main reasons. I think something that is very clear from working in the organization is that if you provide a space where people can be self-determined, where people can think of the solutions to their problems, find out that people have a lot of things to say. I know from being a black man in America, the way that the white mainstream media views my people is not the way that I view myself. working with the homeless population, most of which they look like me, I know that you have a voice. I know that you can speak. And it's our job to make sure our voices are heard. Yeah, they really don't want to hear what we got to say, but we gotta make sure that we're coming through clear, we're coming through direct, and that you're not just going to continue to rape our land, to rape our people. Like, that's not what it's about. Like, we've been through slavery. We've been through the transatlantic slave trade. We're still bombarded with oppression, you know, and exploitation. At some point, you know, we got to say enough is enough.
Of America, whose blood will flow like water to nourish prophet's crop. Somewhere near the edge of America, who's gonna feed on sugar and junk, a hungry mouth with anything. Edge of America, edge of America. Somewhere near the edge of America, whose sister is a battered woman, battered by a battered man. Today than yesterday, and don't even want to think about tomorrow. Edge of America, edge of America. Our lives, we don't all have to fall.
Thank you.
Music from Native American singer-songwriter Annie Humphrey off her Mekoshe music CD entitled Edge of America. That song was the title track. Edge of America refers to all the poor, hungry, and homeless people who barely survive on the margins of society. This is the focus of my conversation with today's program guest, who is sitting next to me at my broadcast table here at the 2009 5th Annual Immokalee Encuentro. Previously, when I welcomed this young activist to Wolf Mountain Radio, I mentioned he preferred not to say his name on air so as not to alert the authorities that he is here this weekend. In that case, I will refer to you as Sir. My next question to you, sir, focuses on coalition building. Protecting Mother Earth and the rights of humanity requires a strong, unified movement. This is why Yad Kiddushi Native Center, as a Native American organization, has been working to help build environmental and social justice alliances with Euro-American and people of color organizations for many, many years. In order to have strong and effective alliances, there must be equal respect and equal inclusion of everyone. This means being open and honest about dealing with diversities of race, gender, economic class privilege, educational levels, age, geographic background, and experience as an activist and organizer. In truth, building campaigns and networks have sometimes been very challenging. Many groups are still run predominantly by white males. Women, people of color, and young people are not encouraged to be in leadership positions. This was a primary reason why many of us, people of color, in 1991, met at the historic First National People of Color Environmental Leadership Summit in Washington, D.C. I had the honor to be a delegate. Unfortunately, nearly 20 years later, many advocacy organizations still seem to have an age, gender, and racial ceiling. I think your generation is trying to be better integrated. Sir, what are your views on this subject? As a young black man, what has been your experience?
I think progress is a slow process. I feel that these systems of oppression have really hurt us all. Even white folks are affected by oppression. They're victims of it as well. In terms of building those alliances and also groups having a degree of autonomy and space to be able to work out things that they want to work out without white folks infiltrating or trying to direct, that's what creates a lot of tension. When folks can't be self-determined, when folks can't have the space, and you're quote-unquote reverse racist when you're deciding to be self-organized, folks really need to look at that and really need to struggle around that. Because I'm down for you if you're down for black people being self-determined and for their human rights being upheld. Then we can build.
Sir, as you were just speaking about self-determination and human rights, in your case for black people, it brought to mind what I term cultural colonialism. I'm referring to how Eurocentric values and paradigms over the years have infected many people of color like a virulent disease. Most of our non-European traditions have been supplanted by a homogeneous American society. It amazes me that the majority of minorities seem to want to become colored versions of white people. Considering the history between natives and those who came across the waters, as we say in my Wabanaki language, the Wampisketunk, the white man, I will never understand American Indians' U.S. patriotism. American Indians are per capita the largest ethnic group in the U.S. military. I ponder, knowing black history, why black people in America likewise seem so enthusiastic about being part of American society whose domestic and foreign policy has never been in the interest of non-white people. I am amazed how powerful Christianity has dominated many people of color throughout the world and in the Americas for over 500 years, given the history of the church in genocide and in business. Yad Kiddushi Native Center believes it is vital that everyone be proud of their heritage. Yad Kiddushi Native Center supports every culture's rights of sovereignty and self-determination. If people decide to live the American way of life, good luck to them. My point is that everyone should have the right to determine their cultural life ways and not be forced into the American blender. Sir, how do you feel about this?
I agree with you. One thing I think we can't discount is that with the Obama election and with the victory, it really galvanized a lot of black folks who were quote-unquote apathetic, who really thought that this white racist system really didn't have space for folks to be engaged. I feel that it's part of our job to kind of say, like, what does that represent? What does Obama mean for America? America, it's an empire. It causes the frustration, the death, the genocide, not only of folks in America, but of folks all across the world. So really think about, how did that come into play? It may be a victory on some levels, but the underlying theme of where this system is going and where it's headed isn't positive for our people. I look at it like, yeah, if you worked on the Obama campaign, that's cool. Let's continue to build. Let's continue to grow. And let's continue to see what's behind that veil. Folks were excited about Obama. I think that's a good thing. It's kind of like, what do we do as folks who are progressive-minded, who think about the earth, think about the system? How can we engage those folks that weren't engaged there before into becoming more engaged and to think more deeply about systems of oppression?
Yeah.
That's what I think is about. One way that I think activists have discounted is cultural work. Hip-hop is a huge outlet and a huge way to communicate with folks about what's going on in their community and also how to organize and also what things can be done in your community. Using art, using graffiti, using things that connect with young people, I think is key for us to be able to engage and to be able to grow and to be able to move folks. I think when the cultural element is left out of movement building, then there's no clear way for people to really come in. So we have to have that, I think, as a major piece in the work that we do.
As a Native American, I come from a culture that respects young people and encourages them to live what their spirit calls for them to do in life. Growing up in a clan system ensured intergenerational learning, elder to youth and youth to elder. It was a shared, reciprocal relationship that provided a close connection between the generations. This is not the case in modern America. Families are very geographically and socially apart from each other. Also, the world is quite different in the 21st century compared to when I was your age. Your generation's concerns are in some ways very different from mine. While racism, xenophobia, discrimination, and other socioeconomic justice issues unfortunately are still part of society, how do you view your youth generation from mine or your grandparents' generation? One of the reasons why I participate each year at the Immokalee and Cointreau and other youth gatherings and protests is not only to show support and be a mentor, but also to listen and learn from young people. The future well-being of all life on the planet is soon your generation's challenge. This is why I'm interested in youth activism.
I think nowadays, our memory of things in the past is very minimal. And I think that the system has done a lot to really split our generation. I remember earlier you were talking about COINTELPRO and how, you know, that was used to basically crush our movements. So like our political memory, our institutional memory is lost. You know, you look at Leonard Peltier, he's in prison. Mumia Abu-Jamal and countless of other freedom fighters still behind bars even to this day. How can you talk to those folks that are movement building if there's no relationship? I can't see them. For the folks that are out, that are from your generation, it's very important to be engaged with young folks. One thing that I've learned is that it's very important for young people to learn from our elders. It's an exchange that should be taking place, that should be happening. Yeah, the time is now for us to change things. We can't take everything and basically duplicate or try to reinvent the wheel. We have to come up with new, creative, creative ideas, creative ways of bringing this movement forward, challenging issues of racism, of gender dynamic, xenophobia, homophobia, all of those things should be inclusive in our movement. We should be at a place where we're pushing that even further to this day.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an art that Peter is cold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights.
Get up, stand up,
chap, chap.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up,
get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up,
so we can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your right.
Lord, Lord,
get up, stand up,
keep us troubling on.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
You're sick and tired of your ism, schism, game, dine and go to heaven in the Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand, Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
gonna we gonna stand up for a
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You better get
up, stand up
in the morning.
Give it up,
stand up for your right.
Stand up.
Music from Jamaican musician Bob Marley and his band The Wailers off his CD entitled Legend. The name of that classic song was Get Up, Stand Up. Bob Marley inspired many people to fight for justice. He is greatly missed. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad-Kiddishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. I'm here at the 5th annual 2009 Immokalee Encuentro. The Encuentro is an annual 4-day gathering of students, young people, and community activists from across the country. Every participant is concerned for human dignity and the socioeconomic situations of poor people. The primary focus of the conference are Coalition of Immokalee Workers, farm workers, who are exploited by agribusiness and restaurant industry. The living and working conditions of CIW members are nothing less than modern-day slavery. The Encuentro agenda also has sessions on a range of important justice issues. Every year I have the honor to set up a Yad-Kiddishi Native Center radio table in order to interview Encuentro participants who are willing to share their views on our global community radio program, Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. My guest sitting next to me, whom I've had the pleasure to have been talking with today, is a young African-American brother working on issues of homelessness and hunger. He prefers not to give his name on the air, so I refer to him as Sir. Meeting young people like yourself, who care about injustice, and whom are community activists, gives me hope for the future. It is good to talk with young warriors whom I know will continue to fight for the rights of poor people. What uplifts you and encourages you to be involved in this social justice movement?
I'm fired up. For me, coming to gatherings like Cefe, the Encuentro, it brings fuel to the fire. I really like the way that folks have organized this in terms of bringing past knowledge, the past history of the CIW and of SFA. But also, folks are dancing right now, you know. There's a cultural aspect to it. It's a lot of fun. There's murals on the walls. There's a lot of, like, clear messaging. It's fun to be around. It makes me, like, happy to be an organizer and an activist, you know. And I think if we have more spaces where people can do things like this, it'd be a lot better. Yeah, it'd be more power through the people, you know.
From Scottish singer-songwriter Heather Heywood off her album entitled By Yon Castle Wa. The name of that song was Some People Cry. her song lyric, how some people never really want to know where people without a home go, really expresses the attitude of many in society who, as mentioned in today's program conversation, seem oblivious to the injustice of hunger, homelessness, and poverty. I want to again express my sincere appreciation to you, sir, for sharing your views on Wolf Mountain Radio, the issues of hunger, homelessness, and poverty that you and I deeply care about, unfortunately exists everywhere. Yad Kadishi Native Center hopes listeners to today's program will do whatever they can to fight this injustice. There are a number of websites on this subject, such as the National Coalition for the Homeless, www.nationalhomeless.org, the National Alliance to End Homelessness, www.endhomelessness.org, and the Federal Government's Interagency Council on Homelessness, www.ICH.gov. I always like to conclude an interview by asking my guest if they have any final comments they wish to express to our worldwide listeners.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the exchange with the Native brother. Struggles are very similar and very interconnected. You know, I have Native blood in me as well, as many African Americans do. But yeah, brother, thank you. I'm glad you're here.
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedetshi Native Center. Yat Kedetshi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedetshi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kedetshi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kedetshi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kedetshi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedetshi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedetshi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedetshi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedetshi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedetshi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedetshi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedetshi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production, Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please listen next week for Program 5 of our interview series, Speaking Out for Socioeconomic Justice. People interested to learn more about the SFA Encuentros, please visit the Student Farm Worker Alliance website, www.sfalliance.org. We shall conclude with a song by Dakota flutist Brian Akipa off his Mekoshe Music CD entitled Eagle Dreams. The name of the song we will hear is Prairie Dawn. Sunrise is a special time in Native societies. Dawn is when sacred prayers are offered, a time when we express our appreciation to the Great Spirit, to Mother Earth, and to all of our natural world relatives, Kinawantakusin, all of our relations. Sunrise is a time to focus one's spirit on one's vision for life and how this vision may be undertaken in this new day. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yatkidichi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawantakusin, to all of our relations.